was a man who rarely showed his feelings. Yet he seemed far too composed. He just kept messing with his shaggy hair, lost in a silent reverie. Wondering at his audacity, I moved on to my final point. You'll surely ask in return, where did the culprit enter, and how did they escape? Indeed, without that crucial detail, all else we've uncovered means nothing. But alas, even that, I managed to unearth myself. The investigation that night showed no trace of the culprit's exit. Yet, with a murder committed, the culprit must have come and gone. It only means the detective's search missed something crucial. The police surely struggled with this, yet sadly, they couldn't reach the same conclusion as a mere student like myself. It's actually quite simple, I reasoned this way. With such extensive police inquiry, it's unlikely neighbors hold any clues. If that's the case, the culprit might have passed, in a way no one would suspect, them to be the killer, even if seen. And anyone who saw them simply dismissed it, not deeming it significant. In short, by exploiting the blind spot of human attention, just as our eyes have one, so does our focus. Perhaps the culprit hid themselves, much like a magician, makes a large object vanish right before the audience's eyes. So the place I focused on was Asahiya, the soba shop, one door down from the old bookstore. To the right of the bookstore stood a clock shop and a confectionery. To the left, a tabi shop and the soba place. I went there and asked if anyone had borrowed the restroom around 8 that night, the time of the incident. You know Asahiya, right? Its shop floor extends straight back into a rear gate with a restroom right beside it. So, pretending to use the facilities, one could easily slip out and re-enter through that back entrance. That ice cream shop was on the corner, beyond the alley's reach, so there was no chance of being spotted there. And since it's a soba shop, asking to use the restroom is perfectly natural. I heard the proprietress was out. That night, only the master was in the shop. It was tailor-made for it. Isn't that a brilliant idea, my friend? And sure enough, a customer had borrowed the restroom at precisely that time. Sadly, the owner of Asahiya couldn't recall anything about the man's face or the pattern of his kimono. I immediately passed this on to Detective Kobayashi through our mutual friend. The detective seemed to investigate the soba shop himself, but found nothing more. I paused my words, giving Akechi room to speak. Given his situation, he surely had to say something. Yet he just kept scratching his head, utterly unperturbed. Up until now, I'd used indirect speech, out of respect, but I had to switch to a direct approach. Akechi, my friend, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? The irrefutable evidence points directly to you. To be honest, deep down, I still can't bring myself to suspect you. But with such clear evidence, what choice do I have? I painstakingly searched the tenement for anyone possessing a bold-striped yukata, but found not a single person. And that makes sense. Even among bold-striped yukatas, one matching that distinctive pattern is a rare sight indeed. Moreover, both the fingerprint trick and the restroom ruse are truly ingenious schemes. Only a criminologist like you could pull off such a feat. And what's most peculiar is, you claim to be a childhood friend of the deceased man's wife. Yet, that night, during her background check, though you listened nearby, you said absolutely nothing. So the only hope left is the presence or absence of an alibi. But alas, that too leads nowhere. Do you recall? On your way home that night, I asked where you were before reaching Shirabai Ken. You replied you'd been strolling around the area for about an hour. Even if someone saw you walking, stopping to use a soba shop's restroom during a walk is quite common. Akechi, my words, are they mistaken? Tell me then. If you can, let me hear your explanation. Dear readers, when I pressed him this way, what do you imagine the eccentric Akechi Kogoro did? Do you think he slumped forward, in shame, perhaps? Far from it. In a truly unexpected manner, he completely stunned my bold spirit. for he suddenly burst into uproarious laughter. "Oh, pardon me, I truly didn't mean to laugh. It's just that you're so terribly earnest," Akechi said, as if making an excuse. "Your ideas are quite intriguing, you know. I'm genuinely glad to have found a friend like you. Yet it's a pity. Your deductions are far too superficial, too caught up in the tangible world. For instance, consider this. Regarding the woman and my connection to her, did you delve into our past, explore our inner history, how we knew each other as childhood friends? Did I ever have a romantic past with her? Or do I resent her even now? Could you not infer such things? That night, why didn't I mention knowing her? The reason is simple. I simply knew nothing that could be of use. You see, we parted ways when I was too young for school. Our paths diverged back then, for good. Though it's true, I recently discovered this by chance, and we've spoken a few times since then. Then, for instance, what about the fingerprints? How should we interpret those? Do you truly think I just stood by, doing nothing after that? I've been quite busy myself. I've been haunting Dizaka almost daily. Especially, I frequented the old bookstore. There, I cornered the owner and pressed him for details. I confessed then that I knew his wife, which surprisingly worked in my favor, just as you learned of the police's movements. Through your newspaper contacts, I drew my information from that bookstore owner. The fingerprint matter soon became clear to me. It struck me as odd, so I investigated. Haha, it's quite a joke, actually. The light bulb's filament was broken. No one had turned it off. My assumption that the light came on when I flicked the switch was wrong. In my haste, I jostled the lamp, and the broken tungsten filament reconnected. Of course, my fingerprints were the only ones on the switch. It's only natural. That night you mentioned seeing the light on, shining through the shoji screen's gap, didn't you? Which means the bulb must have broken afterward. Old light bulbs, you know, can simply burn out, even without any interference. And as for the color of the culprit's clothes, it's better if I show you rather than explain it myself. He said this, then rummaged through the stacks of books around him, digging here and there, a quiet excavation. Eventually, he unearthed a single worn foreign book. "Have you ever read this, my friend? It's Münsterberg's Psychology and Crime. Just read the first 10 lines of the chapter titled Illusion." As I listened to his confident reasoning, I gradually began to realize my own missteps. So I took the book as he instructed and started to read. There, roughly the following was written. "Once there was a case of automobile crime. In court, one witness, sworn to tell the truth, claimed the road in question was entirely dry and dusty. Another witness swore it had been raining heavily, and the road was nothing but mud. One person said the car in question was moving slowly, while another stated they'd never seen a car drive so fast. Furthermore, the former witness claimed only two or three people were on that village road. The latter testified to a multitude of passers-by, men, women, and children. Both of these witnesses were respectable gentlemen, people with no conceivable motive to distort the truth." As I finished reading, Akechi turned another page of the book and spoke. "This truly happened, you see. Now there's another chapter here, The Memory of Witnesses. Midway through it, there's an account of a pre-planned experiment. It touches upon the very subject of clothing colors. It might be a bother, but do take a moment to read it." The article was as follows. Excerpt. "To give you an example, the year before last, this book was published in 1911 in Göttingen. An academic gathering of lawyers, psychologists, and physicists was held. Naturally, all those assembled were individuals skilled in meticulous observation. In that town, a carnival revelry was underway, a vibrant, bustling festival. Suddenly, in the midst of this scholarly meeting, the doors burst open. A clown, in gaudy attire, leaped in as if driven by madness, and then, behind him, a black man was seen pursuing, a pistol clutched in his hand. In the middle of the hall, they traded fearsome shouts, a confrontation filled with angry words. Then the clown suddenly collapsed onto the floor. The black man lunged upon him, and then, pop, went the pistol. Instantly, both figures vanished from the room, as if they'd been erased from existence. The entire incident unfolded in less than 20 seconds. Of course, the onlookers were profoundly startled, yet apart from the chairman, no one there realized that the words and actions had been rehearsed beforehand, or that the entire scene had been captured on film. The chairman asked everyone to keep a precise record. He said it would eventually reach the courts. It felt like a natural request at the time. Their written accounts, it turned out, were flawed. full of errors, shown by the numbers. Out of 40, only 4 could tell. The black man's head wore nothing at all. Others wrote of a bowler hat, some even a silk hat. It was quite a sight. About his kimono, some said red. Others recalled it was brown. Some spoke of stripes, or the soft shade of coffee. So many colors, a tangled memory. Yet the black man, in truth, wore white trousers and a black jacket, a large red tie, a splash of bold truth. As Münsterberg wisely explained, Akechi began, human observation, human memory, they are truly unreliable things. Even scholars like those in this example couldn't distinguish the colors of clothes. Is it unreasonable for me to think the students that night misremembered the kimono's color? Perhaps they saw someone. But that person couldn't have worn stripes. No striped kimono at all. And certainly it wasn't me. Your idea of a striped yukata, seen through the lattice, is quite interesting. But isn't it a little too convenient, perhaps? At least, rather than believing such a coincidence, wouldn't you rather believe in my innocence? Finally, about the man who used the soba shop's restroom. On this point, I thought the same as you. I really believed there was no other path for the culprit outside that Asahiya, so I went there myself to investigate. But sadly, the result led to a conclusion quite opposite to yours. In reality, no man had borrowed the restroom. As the reader might have noticed, Akechi denies the witness's claims. He denies the culprit's fingerprints, even the path the culprit took. He tries to prove his innocence, but doesn't this also deny the crime itself? I couldn't understand at all what he was thinking. So do you have a lead on the culprit? Yes, I do, he replied. His hand ran through his messy hair. My method is a little different from yours. Material evidence can be twisted by interpretation. The best detective method is to see deep into the human mind, but this depends on the detective's own skill. Anyway, this time I focused on that particular aspect. What first caught my attention was the fresh wounds on the old bookseller's wife. Soon after, I heard whispers of similar wounds on the soba shop owner's wife. You know this, I'm sure, yet their husbands don't seem like violent men. Both the bookseller and the soba shop owner are gentle, understanding men. I couldn't help but suspect that a hidden secret lay there. So I first approached the bookseller and tried to coax the secret from him. He relaxed a little, seeing me as an acquaintance of his late wife, so it was relatively easy, and I managed to uncover a strange truth. Now, the soba shop owner, despite his appearance, is quite steadfast. Getting answers from him was tough, but I used a certain method and succeeded quite well. You know about the psychological association test, right? How it's used in crime investigations now. It's that method where you give simple trigger words and measure the suspect's response time to them. But I believe it's not always limited to simple words like dog or house or river, as psychologists often claim. Nor is a chronoscope always needed for one who grasps the essence of association tests. Such formalities aren't truly necessary. As proof, great judges and detectives of old, long before psychology flourished, used this very method, driven by their natural talent. They employed it, perhaps unknowingly. Uka Eshizen no Kami, for instance, was certainly one of them. In novels, take Poe's Rue Morgue. At the start, Dupin can tell his friend's thoughts just by a subtle movement of his body. Doyle imitated this too, having Holmes do similar reasoning in The Resident Patient. All these are, in a way, forms of association diagnosis. The mechanical methods of psychologists are simply for ordinary people who lack this innate insight. I've strayed a bit, but in that sense, I performed a kind of association test on the soba shop owner. I started many conversations with him, mostly trivial, everyday chatter, and I studied his psychological reactions. But this is a very delicate matter of emotion, quite complex. I'll talk about the details later, but anyway, as a result, I reached a certain conviction. In other words, I found the culprit, but there is no material evidence whatsoever. So I can't report it to the police. Even if I did, they probably wouldn't take it seriously. Another reason I stood by, knowing the culprit, is that this crime contained absolutely no malice. It's a strange thing to say, but this murder happened with the consent of both killer and victim. Or perhaps it was even carried out at the victim's own wish. I tried to imagine many things, but I simply couldn't grasp what he was thinking. Forgetting to be ashamed of my own failures, I listened to his bizarre deduction. So, if I tell you my thoughts, the murderer is the owner of Asahiya. He mentioned the man who borrowed the toilet to cover up his tracks. No, but that was no invention of his own. We are the ones to blame. Whether it was you or me, we posed questions, asking if there wasn't such a man, as if inciting him. Besides, he mistook us for detectives or something. So why did he commit murder? Through this incident, I felt vividly shown the surprising, grim secrets hidden beneath this human world, which on the surface appears utterly ordinary. It was truly the kind of thing that could only be found in the world of nightmares. The owner of Asahiya was a terrible, sadistic fetishist, a descendant, perhaps, of the Marquis de Sade. And by some cruel twist of fate, he discovered a female masochist living just one house away. The second-hand bookseller's wife was a masochistic fetishist, no less than him. And with the cunning peculiar to such afflicted individuals, they committed adultery without anyone ever discovering them. You understand what I meant when I said it was a consensual murder, don't you? Until recently, they each barely satisfied their pathological desires through their legitimate husbands or wives. The similar old wounds on both the second-hand bookseller's wife and Asahiya's wife are proof of this. But it goes without saying that they were not satisfied with that. So, when they discovered the person each was seeking, right in their immediate vicinity, it's not hard to imagine a swift understanding formed between them. But the outcome was a trick of fate gone too far. Through the synthesis of their passive and active forces, their madness gradually multiplied. And finally, that night, they brought about this incident, an event they surely never wished for. Hearing Akechi's bizarre conclusion, I involuntarily shivered. Good heavens, what an incident this is! Just then, the lady from the tobacco shop downstairs brought the evening paper. Akechi took it and looked at the social news page. Then soon, he sighed softly and said, "Ah, it seems he finally couldn't bear it anymore." And he turned himself in. What a strange coincidence to come across such a report, just as we were discussing it. I looked where he was pointing. There, under a small headline, about 10 lines reported that the soba shop owner had confessed.